I am so glad to be here, and it really is a great joy. As I said to the first service today, I staff the Commission on Ministry, which is 95 churches, so I get to visit a different church every week. This is, I think, the third time I've been here. I was here for a session retreat, and I was here for Laurie Leiter's ordination. And I'm not supposed to have favorites, but this is one of my favorite churches. So don't tell anybody. Our scripture lesson for today first comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen for God's word to us, and you might hear some familiar lyrics that come from Handel's Messiah, which is much loved in this season. Let us listen for God's word to us. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows over it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up and do not fear, says the city of Judah. Here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with his might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. And from the Gospel according to Mark, the story of the coming of John the Baptist. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, good morning, Wildwood Presbyterian Church. I am so glad to be with you this morning, and I bring greetings from the offices of the Presbytery of Chicago. As I said before, about 95 churches and worshiping fellowships that reach all the way up to Wisconsin practically and all the way down to Indiana and as far west as Naperville and all the way to the lake. So I am so glad to be with you today, and I bring greetings from the offices of the Presbytery, but I want you to remember that you are the Presbytery of Chicago. Part of being Presbyterian is that we have a corporate bishop, and you are part of that bishopry. And so it is very good to be with you this morning as this congregation moves into a new chapter of your ministry. As Greg preached last week, we can now call it the time after the Bostroms. A joyous time, but also kind of a sad time. So it's really good to be with you, and this morning's scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark offers a very interesting analogy to what's going on here today in the story of Wildwood Presbyterian Church. But I want to be clear, very, very clear about something. I am in no way the prophet Isaiah. Really important for you to know that. Your future interim pastor will in no way be John the Baptist. Get that out of your head. And here's the most important thing to remember. Your next installed pastor will most definitely not be the Messiah. It's very, very important to remember that. Although you will be tempted to look for somebody like Jesus, and that is natural. So those analogies don't really work here, and yet this is an Advent like no other in the history of your congregation. And in addition to waiting for the return of the Lord, I am struck by the fact that this congregation is called Wildwood. I love it. You're like born to be the John the Baptist church. You're almost begging for an interim pastor who, like John the Baptizer, goes with that whole camel hair thing and the leather belt and the honey and the locust eating. If you want to call an interim pastor that looks like that and eats like that, knock yourself out. But chances are that will not be the case in terms of your interim pastor. But if you are lucky, like John the Baptizer, you will have an interim pastor who will lead you through what the Bible calls a wilderness time. As a member of the Presbytery staff, I would like to caution you against hiring a wild-eyed interim that smells like a camel. But you do want to hire someone who will love you and carry you through this gap period. John the Baptizer spoke words that are important for congregations like this one to hear as you move into a new chapter of your ministry. The words are considered good news. It actually says that here, but it's also kind of uncomfortable news. John called the people to prepare. Not a problem. This is a church that's preparing because it's Advent. And you've got wreaths up, and you've got a tree up, and you've got the blue and the banners. You've got your Advent wreath here. Not a problem. Advent is all about preparing for the one who is coming, and you got that. John called the people also to repent. And again, you got it. You're on top of it. To repent doesn't merely mean that you're sorry. It means that you're turning in a different direction from the way that you were going before. It literally means turn in a different direction, which is not easy, but when you're starting with a fresh start, as you are, it's something that we can all assume needs to be done. But then John offers some fighting words. John says that we are to be baptized. We might think, done and done. Most of us are baptized, we're all set, we can check that off as well. It doesn't matter if you've been sprinkled, it doesn't matter if you've been dunked. But this is not about that. He is talking about being changed from the inside out. Being changed from the inside out. Now, those are fighting words, because most of us don't believe we need to be changed from the inside out. We might have a couple of things we need to tweak, let's all face it. We might need to bone up on a couple of things, but we certainly don't need an overhaul. This church certainly doesn't need one. I'll speak for myself, I don't need one. Don't think you need one. But the truth of the matter is that in Advent, it's not just about that love that Jill talked about. It's also about a transformation that is real and deep and important. And asking those hard questions about those deep, deep things that we need to change. I would be remiss if I didn't mention race relations today. I just have to do it. Now, this is a predominantly white church. I certainly have the same skin color. That's not completely true for the whole congregation, but it's important, I feel like, to say something in light of the decisions not to indict two different police officers who killed two different black men during the course of interacting with them. Now, most of us do not see ourselves as racist, and honestly, I don't think that we intentionally mean to be racist in any way. But I wonder if there is something that is so deep within us we don't even realize it that I'd like us to just ponder during Advent. And I feel like I have to mention it because of what's going on and the history of this country and the subtle messages of the media. I am convinced that a lot of us, maybe all of us, judge people based on the color of their skin. Maybe we don't even mean to do it. It's so, so subconscious. My husband is Fred, and Fred and I are the parents of three 20-something kids. They all live in Brooklyn, within a mile of each other, which is really, really nice. But our oldest son, a year ago, when he was 25 years old, was going to work one morning, And a year ago, before the current mayor was the mayor, there was a law on the books in New York that was called stop and frisk. And the law was that any police officer could stop you and frisk you for no apparent reason. You just, for whatever reason, most of the people that got stopped and frisked were not people with white skin. But my son happens to have white skin. He was getting off the subway, and he got stopped and frisked. And lo and behold, in his back pocket, the police officer found a pocket knife. You know, just one of those little pocket knives. In fact, he got it in his Christmas stocking when he was 9 years old. So he had had it all that time. He, before he went to New York, he was a public school teacher in Arlington, Virginia. And even though it was a public school, he carried that pocket knife in his back pocket every day because he used it. It was one of those with every kind of little tool on it. You can clip your fingernails, you can cut things, you can, there's a little flashlight. So he used it every day with his job, and there it was in his pocket that day he got stopped and frisked. Well, he didn't know this, but you can't have a pocket knife in your pocket in New York City, or at least that was the rule a year ago. And so he got handcuffed and taken to the police and fingerprinted and put in a holding cell. And while he was arrested, an elderly man who was a Latino man, didn't speak any English, also got arrested with him. He had dropped an empty Lay's potato chip wrapper, and he was arrested for littering. So they get to the police station. They get in this holding cell, which is essentially like a cage in the middle of the room. There are about 10 men in there total. Ben is the only one with light-colored skin. And he gets in there. He was able to call the office and say, his one phone call was to say he wasn't going to be into work. Anyway, he was trying to do the responsible thing. So Ben's in the holding cell, and it occurs to him that he's the only one whose handcuffs have been taken off. So he says, excuse me, to the guard. And he said, excuse me, but I have a question. He wasn't trying to be smart alecky, but he said, I just noticed that my handcuffs were taken off, but nobody else's handcuffs were taken off. Do you know why? Is there a reason for that? And the police officer said, are you trying to cause trouble, young man? And he goes, no, I'm not trying to cause trouble. I'm just wondering, you know, I came in with this guy and my handcuffs were taken off, and you probably just made a mistake and didn't take this guy's handcuffs off. And he said, do you want your handcuffs back on? And he goes, no, I was thinking maybe everybody could have their handcuffs taken off. Well, Ben promptly got his handcuffs put back on. And yet, I was really grateful that he was somebody who noticed, that he was somebody who saw that there was a kind of a problem there, and maybe there was a really good reason for it, or maybe there wasn't a good reason for it, but he spoke up, and that he said something that to his detriment because he got his handcuffs put back on. This is a kid who loves, who's very respectful. He was the student body president, for Pete's sake, at his high school. I mean, this is a respectable kid. But I love the fact that he spoke up when he saw something that maybe needed to be changed. So here's my question. How do we, who are privileged, look out for those who are not privileged? How do we serve to change attitudes that are unfair? It's one question that needs to be asked of this congregation in this season that kind of feels like a wilderness, and especially in terms of the culture of our country at this time. This is what it means to change ourselves from the inside out. Baptism, even for Jewish people in the first century who were baptized, baptism was about an inside-out change. It's about smoothing out rough places. It's about clearing out the weeds so that a new path can be laid. And your next pastor will actually be a temporary interim pastor, but he will be a bit, or she will be a bit like John the Baptist in that this person will probably not eat locusts, but neither will he or she be a placeholder until the real pastor arrives. Your interim pastor will prepare the way by making some inside-out changes along with you. Not in a way of coming into this pulpit and just telling you all how everything's got to change, but to work with you and to talk with you about what you think needs to be changed. It doesn't matter who we are. None of us are crazy about change. At least I'll speak for myself. It's one thing to ask us to wait for the coming of the Messiah during Advent. It's one thing to ask us to turn from the things we never should have done anyway. But it's a whole different thing to ask us to change in a deep, deep way. Most of us don't believe that that's necessary. But in this holy time, in this season of Advent, the perfect time to move through the wilderness with a focus on what we'll be calling us to do in the next season of our ministry is what's going on next. You've had a pastor, actually two pastors who are married to each other for more than 20 years. This is the first Christmas in over 20 years that you have not had Greg and Kathy in leadership. But one of the first things I would ask you to do as you look forward is to pray, start to pray today for your next permanent pastor. It is a really cool thing to think about. That probably, most likely, on this very day, there is a man or a woman somewhere on this planet who is preparing to preach a sermon, or maybe standing in his pulpit right now preaching on the second Sunday in Advent. And maybe that person is ready for a change, or maybe that person has no idea that a change is about to happen. Feeling pretty content with the way things are, feeling pretty satisfied and happy with the way things are. But in the next couple of months or in the next year, that person is going to feel a holy nudge. There will be a sense of restlessness. So please, please start praying right now for that person who will be your next pastor, that he or she will begin to wonder and ponder and consider moving to the gorgeous village of Gray's Lake. Isn't that cool to start thinking about that person? That God would start getting that person ready to be with you? The crazy thing about this is that we cannot possibly imagine who this person is. We can't possibly imagine God's great plan for this congregation. We know the processes. We will learn the assorted steps and procedures. We will learn all about what we definitely don't want in a new pastor, what we definitely do want in a new pastor. But God always surprises us. And Exhibit A is that very first Advent when the people who are looking for a Messiah didn't dream in their wildest dreams that their Messiah would be born in a stable to a virgin in a poor family in Nazareth of all places. This is the amazing good news. And the good news is that your next pastor will not be the Messiah, but your next pastor will serve the Messiah who promises to deliver us into a new and amazing ministry with Wildwood Presbyterian Church. Thanks be to God for that great news. Please pray with me. Good and gracious God, we start right now thanking you for the extraordinary ministry of the Bostroms. Grateful for the fine, fine leadership of Greg Dana and Jill Paulson and all the rest of the staff of this church. And hopeful that not only you would lead a strong interim pastor to minister to these good folks in the next year or so, but also that somewhere on this earth, most likely somewhere in this country, there is a man or a woman whom you have chosen to be the next pastor of this church. Pour out your blessings upon that person and prepare us and prepare that person to meet each other and to serve you with great joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.